Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
While Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We find ourselves back in ordinary time now, after our celebration of Epiphany. But the experiences depicted in our readings are anything but ordinary. Isaiah sees God in the temple, or at least the hem of God's robe, which is enough to fill the whole temple. This is an image of immensity and transcendence, inviting a response of awe and humility. A similar response is made by Simon Peter after the miraculous catch of fish. Astonishment and unworthiness in the face of God's abundance and generosity. Sometimes we have experiences where time stops still and we sense that things may never be the same again. Isaiah's experience was certainly like this, as was Simon Peter's. They are changed by their encounters with God. They are transformed by the revelation of God's grace. An awareness of their own limits, their sinfulness, their disorientation, their empty nets, is an invitation to depend on and trust in God. And from this acceptance of their limitations, they are able to respond with trust to the call of God and set out on a new path. Isaiah becomes the great prophet. Simon Peter becomes the leader of Christ's church. We've heard it said many times that the coronavirus pandemic
is a collective, global experience of time stopping still. Even as we start to hope and trust that the worst is behind us, the experience of living through this is going to change us, our church, our society, our world. The pandemic has brought about an awareness of our own limits. It has certainly brought about disorientation, the stress and strain and anxiety has meant that nobody has been at their best, even though we have all tried our best to cope. This has been a bruising and tiring experience for us as individuals and as a church community. Our readings invite us to ponder some questions about this experience. Can we respond to an awareness of our limitations with deep trust in God's grace and God's call? Can we acknowledge our tiredness, the sense that we've worked hard through this difficult time, even though it may seem there's not much to show for it? Can we offer God our empty nets and our unclean lips, and allow God to transform them with grace in the way that only God can? The task ahead for us as a church community at this time seems daunting. How do we rebuild and revitalize and rejuvenate our life together? How do we go about answering God's call to share the good news of the kingdom, to safeguard creation, to be witnesses to God's love, to bring hopeful and peaceful messages to a world that seems so full of despair and conflict? The task is so daunting that it's hard to know where to begin. But our readings make it clear. We begin always with God's grace, by attending to our relationship with God, by acknowledging our own limitations, and by offering God not our hard work and good intentions, great as these may be, but by offering God our trust and our commitment. Here I am, send me. One feature of contemporary society, certainly in our pre-pandemic world, is the sense that human beings are somehow without limits, that if we just work hard enough, we can achieve anything. And there is something to be said for this can-do attitude. We all need goals and aspirations. But if we aren't careful, we can easily find ourselves with a misplaced view of human nature and the relationship between God and humanity. We can easily fall into the trap of thinking that our value and worth come from our work and our achievements. We can easily end up depending on ourselves rather than on God, and then getting quite disappointed when, like Simon Peter, our own resources and efforts run dry. Those of you familiar with church history may sense where I'm going with this. I'm alluding to something known as the Pelagian controversy, a debate in the early church in the 4th century between Pelagius, a British monk, and Saint Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo in modern-day Algeria. The debate focused on the question of whether, after baptism, Christians are able to lead a good and moral life by their own efforts. For Pelagius, the answer was yes. Human beings are capable of reaching moral perfection if they just try hard enough. We have the freedom to choose the good, and grace illuminates a moral law that we're capable of knowing and following for ourselves. For Augustine, on the other hand, both his lived experience and his experience as a church leader led him to a different view. Of course, Christians should strive for moral goodness and a life of holiness. The problem is that we generally don't manage it. We mess up, we struggle, we get things wrong, we work all night to no avail. We are not without limits. Our freedom is weakened by sin. We need to be healed and restored by divine grace. We need to learn to depend on this grace, and through this relationship of dependence, we are then empowered and set free to do the work of God. Augustine's view prevailed in the debate, and I'm glad it did. It seems to get the order of priority right between God and us. It avoids the implication that we need to earn God's love. It reminds us that our capacity to lead a good and holy life comes from God, and that even when we mess up, God asks us to trust more rather than to work harder. Augustine's own lived experience was similar to both Isaiah and Simon Peter. He was a complex and messy human being who stumbled across the divine and realized that he didn't need to change first in order to be accepted by God. He was already accepted, and this enabled him to change. Likewise, Isaiah, face to face with the vastness and greatness of God in the temple, doesn't pluck up his courage and try harder to be good. He is simply healed by a power beyond himself. And it's only when Simon Peter lets down his net as an act of trust rather than an act of hard work that God's power can break through. What are the empty nets and the unfulfilled plans in your life? What have you been laboring over that has made you tired and disappointed? What has made you feel lost and disorientated at this time of pandemic? Bring all of this to God in prayer, knowing that God only needs your trust and your commitment, and that grace will take care of the rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.